from the Carter Subaru Studios, this is the G and Ursula Show with G. Scott and Ursula Voitine.
I mean, it's a new hour, and not a lot of people know that Ursula is back, back, and back. It is good to have you. Good morning, Ursula.
I love that I was only gone for 3 days, and I get this big, fat welcome.
Well, technically, Friday, plus, Saturday,
actually Thursday,
Sunday,
too.
Monday. You was gone Thursday?
Yes.
You was gone a long time.
Okay, 3 days off from work.
Yeah.
But thank you. I'm so happy to be back. It's been a fun show so far.
I can't believe
it's already 11:07.
Is it more fun when we have shows that we agree on? Or is it, I wonder if it's for the listener, if it's more fun that we agree to disagree?
I think it's a combination.
A combination?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. I think it's just more fun when we have reasons to smile.
All right. Well, speaking of that, what do we have here? It is Agree to Disagree, brought to you by Guardian Roofing and Gutters.
One of these days, we just got to take off the gloves, just really go at it.
Is it time to shake up elections in King County? That is what the King County Council is considering, moving countywide elections from odd-numbered years to even-numbered years in an effort to increase voter participation. So congressional races, the midterm races for both governor and president, those are held in even-numbered years. And since 2010, 42% of voters in King County cast a ballot in odd years, while 73% cast a ballot in even years. So if this change happens, it would mean that your vote for county executive, assessor, the King County Council, that would happen on the same ballot as all of those other races. G. Scott, what do you think?
I think this is a no-brainer. Absolutely. Yes, I'm glad for it. Don't we all want more people to participate in voting? So if you go from 47% to 70, wait, hold on.
You're joking.
Wait.
No, I'm not. I'm absolutely not joking.
You don't want more people to...
I'm not saying personally. I'm saying that there is also a significant faction of people who believe that, yeah, the less voters we have, the better. It's a more informed electorate.
And guess what? That's not a good idea.
I would agree, but that position exists.
Wait.
But how do you feel?
Wait. Do you really believe there are people that do not want more people to participate in voting? Are you saying that they would rather it be 40-something percent instead of 77 percent?
Yes.
Why would you think that way? Why?
Because you have a higher chance of winning that way. You've heard about voter suppression. I mean, there's a whole movement. I mean, Chef is right in that, but we want to fight against that. You want to make accessibility available. Mm-hmm. You want to make sure that everyone can vote, not just certain people can vote. You want to make sure that certain areas don't have huge lines out the door where other areas have, you know, it really easy, for example. You want to make as many people. Can you imagine? I love this idea, by the way. So first of all, I think it would be cheaper. So I think that would be more cost effective. Secondly, I also think that, yes, you would increase participation. And yes, the more participation we have, the better and stronger our democracy is. And anyone who thinks otherwise is really in it only to keep themselves getting reelected. That's it.
Oh, let me see if I can take a crack at opposing this. To your point, the people that do want less voter turnout know the demographics of low turnout elections. So the lower the turnout, the older and generally the whiter an election will skew, which tends to favor more conservative candidates, more of the status quo positions, as you will. That being said, look, if you are voting for governor, you're voting for president, you're voting on Congress, you're voting on the Senate, you're voting on your city council, etc., and then you throw King County Council on there, assessor on there, how many possible positions can people honestly evaluate on one ballot? Most people struggle to make it through like 7-8 candidates, even looking at the voters' pamphlet. I don't think that many people pay a lot of attention to the King County Council and who they are electing. I think that they would pay even less attention with it on the general ballot. That's pretty much the only argument I can have against moving it to even-numbered years.
It's almost like we're trying to dumb it down so it can be as easy as possible. That you're trying to say.
And exactly.
I think we need to have higher expectations. And guess what? When you see things like, I look at an April special election 2022 for King County, the voter turnout forecast was 31%. Do you really want 31% of the population to be deciding things for you that are going to affect you in your life?
All I know,
I trust that 31.
All I right? know is we did the president, you know, and they lost the main vote by 3 million votes, and they were able to add to the Supreme Court more conservatives. And look at where we got today. Yeah, what we have going on right now.
Well, even add that component as well. You know, the way the presidential election is set up. So. I think the more people we can get, we should be having 100% turnout. We should be hitting in the 90s.
Never going to get there unless we have compulsory voting. Is that something that you would actually support? I mean, we can't even get a day off to vote across this country.
I am in support of getting a day off for people to vote more than many other holidays.
That is so crazy that that is not a day off for everyone. But we're going to take off. What day are we going to take off? We're going to take off President's Day.
Columbus Day.
Columbus Day.
Which is Indigenous Peoples Day.
I wonder how it became Columbus Day for so long.
That's a whole nother topic.
31%?
Something exactly.
Like that. Okay, moving on to the New York Times snafu yesterday. They had to change the answer to yesterday's Wordle puzzle, Ursula. After the word of the day, fetus, sparked outcry, the New York Times said, no, this isn't anything to do with sensitivity. It's that we want our Wordle solution to avoid an answer that would have seemed closely connected to a major news event. I don't know. That seems like a news hook to me, Ursula, not a reason to avoid. Is there any problem with using that word?
What? Isn't fetus a word?
I believe it is. Last time I checked.
And why is it? I don't understand why this was made to be such a big deal. And I saw that it was the most read story in the Seattle Times at one point in time yesterday. And I thought, I would look at it and say, hey, timely. This is something that is actually in the news right now. And maybe you would have a better chance of guessing that word on a first shot. But I don't see any offense to the word fetus and why they had what sparked an outcry. What was the outcry? Three people on Twitter saying, I mean, what's the...
wait a minute. What? First of all, welcome back, Ursula.
Yes.
Second of all, I am shocked.
Why?
I was one of those people that was screaming about this.
You're one of the three.
I did not. Yes, I was. I did it right in the newsroom yesterday. I did not like this at all.
You don't even play Wordle.
Don't matter. There's a lot of people that nothing. Some people don't even go to Seattle. They're all, oh my goodness, I can't believe that's happening in Seattle. You don't even live there. But anyways, no. I think this was in poor taste. I did not like it at all. I don't understand
now
why.
It became an even bigger deal because now it's being reported on and it's spread all over the place. Just let it go with, you know, one word. It's a word. I mean, it is a word, and yes, it happens to be in the news. And what they're saying is
I think it was in poor taste.
Well, they said because of current Wordle technology, it can be difficult to change words that have already been loaded into the game. When we discovered last week that this particular word would be featured today, we switched it for as many solvers as possible. So they switched it for some, but for some others, it wasn't there. I don't know. I think it was ado about nothing.
I think it was in poor taste.
I don't think it was in poor taste. I think if this is seriously offensive to people, America is not mature enough to have a national conversation about reproductive rights and abortion.
Thank you.
Period.
You know where
fetus is a word.
Wait. You guys know where I am on this side when it comes to this hot topic right now in our country. However, I just don't think this was the move. I didn't like it. I didn't feel
well, now,
it. I didn't think
now
it was appropriate.
Now it just kind of became... What was that thing that you were asking me if I knew about today?
Why you got to do me like this? So, okay, peel back the curtain.
Don't do it.
I'm not going to do it.
Don't do it. Don't do it.
Okay, I'm going to throw in... I need to throw in a surprise agree to disagree because this is a brand new headline.
Light me up.
Elon Musk says he would reverse the permanent ban of Donald Trump on Twitter. Do you agree on this or disagree? I want to throw it to you guys. And all of you, text us, 888-973-5476, 888-973-CHIRO. Do you agree with Elon Musk? He would reverse the permanent ban of former President Trump on Twitter. Go ahead, G.
Do I agree with him?
Yeah.
I mean, no, I don't agree with him, but what did you expect?
Exactly.
But I don't even know if this is going to go through. Something is really weird with this whole Elon Musk and Twitter. Something's up, and I don't understand what it is. I mean, Did he get it? Did it go through?
Nah.
Does he have the money?
Now he's facing a lawsuit from Twitter shareholders, I read while I was gone. And then didn't Donald Trump say he doesn't want to get back on Twitter?
There's something about Elon Musk that just exhausts me, because I feel like I'm being constantly played by whatever headline is about him in the news. And do I want President Trump back on Twitter? No, because he says the most vile things possible, and then it gets spread worldwide by news media organizations who just fascistly, like, put this out there as though this is everything that people need to know today. Hey, someone famous said something disgusting. Let's report on it. I don't find that to be news. He's no longer the president. Whether he goes back on or not, I don't care, because frankly, Twitter is a private platform. If Elon Musk buys it and he decides to put a private citizen back on his own private platform, that is his own business.
Exactly.
In the same way that it is Twitter's right to kick any private citizen off of their platform.
I agree.
Free speech does not apply to private companies. Is that good?
That was pretty good.
Yeah. For a surprise one, yes.
Can I rewind?
Yes, please do.
No, you can't listen to rap music, G, but how about some good old-fashioned hip-hop? Leave your name and your number. Does that still apply? G. Scott, in this modern technology world, should anyone ever leave a voicemail?
No. No and no. I am so against voicemails that when you call my phone, you will never hear a voicemail. As a matter of fact, you don't even know if you've gotten me. If you don't know me and you get my number somehow, you won't even know, because no voicemail is set up.
Fact check true. Beep. The person you have dialed's voicemail box has not been set up. That's
you, G. My voicemail is not set up.
You want me to help you with that? Why have you not set it up?
because I'm not going to listen to messages.
What?
Well, I'm not.
Then how do you follow up when someone tries to get a hold of you and leaves? Wants to leave a message.
Okay, well, let me ask you this.
I hate when people don't have ability to leave voicemail.
Oh, okay, Ursula. I'm glad you said that. So you and I have been doing a show for 2.5 years.
Uh-huh.
How hard is it for you to contact me?
Oh, well, I text you. So, yeah, very easy. Or I call you. But I know there are times when you don't want to answer.
So you leave the snarky voicemail. Hey, G, just checking in. See how you doing.
I mean,
is that a millennial thing? I mean, is that just the no voicemail?
Like, Brady, you leave voicemails, bro? Brady is filling in for Nick. Brady, do you leave voicemails?
No, and to your point about not wanting voicemails to be left in your own phone, I had the strategy of all the people that did leave voicemails on my phone, I let it fill up so they can't leave anymore.
What?
This is a younger person thing. Now, G, to your point, Ursula, the only people that would leave you a voicemail or need to leave you a voicemail are people who do not know if your number is your cell phone or a landline. Now, think about the number of people in your life that do not know when they're calling you if they're reaching you on their cell phone. All those people are either bill collectors, spam, politicians, right? Maybe your doctor's office. Go ahead and leave a voicemail. But everyone else, text.
How about my parents don't text. So I need to make sure that they leave a voicemail message in case something's going on so that I can follow up.
Can we have a caveat to this conversation that anyone over the age of 80, the rules do not apply to you. However, most people under the age of 40 don't even check their voicemail because... How would I ever find the time? It was 30 seconds of audio. I could never listen to that. I'm so busy.
I am so thankful for... Okay, here's a little pro tip, too.
Oh, man, I know what you're going to say. I think I know what you're going to say.
Uh-huh.
And I'm...
I have kept my brother's, my late brother's voicemail.
I knew you were going to say that.
And I will never give that up.
That part of me, my dad used to always get on me about... I don't understand why you have a voicemail set up. That's just dumb. Yeah, and now I regret that. But when's the last time you left a voicemail, Ursula, for someone else?
Yesterday.
Jeez.
You know when I leave a voicemail?
I'll probably leave one today.
When I'm trying to harass a politician that doesn't want to answer our calls or emails. I'll leave the email. I'll leave the voicemail. I'll shoot the text. Basically, I'm a debt collector at that point. I'm like, if I really want to reach you, you're going to get 17 points of contact from me, and you're not going to be able to ignore me. That is the point of a voicemail.
No. If you guys ever, if I ever hear, oh, someone didn't ever get, someone didn't get a hold of me or whatever, I'm just going to say, what's up with your voicemail?
People that know me know how to get in touch with me.
But not everyone knows you.
That's a good thing. That's a great thing. And speaking of voicemails, let me just say, the best times in the world was when voicemails first came out. Do you know how much of a great time I had? Maybe you had this too, when you sat around and you played the music into your voicemail and you had a real cool voicemail greeting.
Yes.
I have some LL Cool J. I need love. When I'm alone in my room, sometimes I stare at the wall and in the back of my mind. Oh, okay.
Nice.
That was one of my favorite voicemail messages right there.
253 says, no voicemail set up, so doctor's offices, bill collectors, or the third ex-wife can't leave a message. LOL.
Hey. Hey, some of you Texans have been making it personal here.
You might want to get that mole checked out, buddy.
Exactly.
Hey. Coming up at 11:30, our very own Heather Bosch has an amazing feature, and she does a feature on a Northwest company that is behind the Mariners' new energy ads. She joins us next, Gene Ursula.
Welcome back to the G and Ursula Show. Happy Tuesday to all of you. Is the whole We Believe thing still a thing for the Seattle Mariners? Last year's season ignited new hope in the team that is yet to get to the World Series. Ouch. Right now, the M's are third in the AL West. But as Heather Bosch tells us, the team is far more than a list of wins and losses. At least that's what the man at the heart of the M's new ad campaign wants you to know.
Baseball is a way of life.
You can feel the difference right off the bat.
When I step to the plate,
swung on, swing and drive.
I'm about action.
Dives and he makes the catch.
The new Mariners TV ads are high energy, packed full of highlights and the players' voices, often unscripted.
Ooh, that's nasty, Robbie. I see you.
It's the creation of Rashad Floyd.
I've been an athlete all my life.
He's the founder of Portland-based Heart and Hustle Productions.
I played football, basketball, baseball, ran track in high school. Then I went on and played football and basketball in college, played pro football for 9 years.
So when he gets behind a camera, he doesn't just see ball players. He has an insight into what they're thinking, what's in their gut, in their heart.
The players make the sport. You know, the players are the ones that are providing the entertainment based on their skill set, based on their competitive nature, based on them living a dream their whole life. I mean, these guys love the game.
We compete to inspire others.
He's worked with the NBA, NFL, and Nike. The Seattle Mariners is his first MLB team.
I feel like I could do more.
God bless America.
A league not often viewed as hip and edgy.
You know, it's predominantly been a very conservative sport. You know, handshakes, hat forward, jerseys tucked in.
But he insists the swagger has always been there. Take Ken Griffey Jr.
His game, his charisma, his attitude, he hooked me to baseball.
That is from Floyd's documentary about the Mariners Hall of Famer and how Floyd got connected with the M's. So he tells me his approach to the team's ad campaign was clear.
Let's do what we do with the other leagues. Let's make it hype. Let's make it high energy. Let's make it fun. Let's let the voices players be heard. Let's let it be unscripted.
Bringing a non-traditional view to a traditional institution. But he's good at that.
We're super unconventional in how we operate as a company because we're just a family. And Heart and Hustle Productions is becoming just kind of like a mecca for creatives of color.
Like him, he says, many of his employees just needed a chance.
You know, as a black man in this industry, not surrounded by a lot of high-end photographers that look like me or filmmakers that look like me, it's important for me to be present for the next generation.
This is heart. This is hustle.
I'm here to do one thing, win.
Here to win.
Bringing a new edge to a young team bursting with opportunity.
We're not going to win every game, but we're damn sure going to give our very best.
See us rise.
Heather Bosch, Cairo News Radio.
Excellent.
Let's
very
go watch baseball.
Good job in doing this. I want to peel the curtains back because you've done a lot of things. What was it like going to interview someone who behind the camera, but also has a sports eye as well.
Love it. Okay. I've told you guys before, my favorite thing to do is talk to people who are passionate about what they do and who are so good at what they do. And I thought, gee's going to love this because, of course, he comes at it from an athlete's perspective. I mean, what a great thing. And he just so, you know, his ability to transition into running this company that has become, as he said, it's sort of a mecca for diversity, giving other people a chance. But it's like he really gets the athletes. You can tell that.
Well, and not only does he get the athletes, but he presents them in a way that is memorable. And that's what it is for me. If it's not, I need to know the personalities that we're dealing with, because otherwise it's just a name and I don't get into the game as much.
Especially baseball, which is very, let's face it, very stat heavy. Statistics here, there, and everywhere. But he, brings more.
And I love this. And I obviously said the first baseball team he's worked with is now the Mariners. And like you said, like you in your piece, baseball is, you know, it's America's pastime. You know, like, hey, no, you don't want to do that. You want to tip the cap forward. When Ken Griffey was having the hat backwards, that was kind of frowned upon doing that. You want to do things the right way. Keep it the same. Leave baseball alone. Okay, so will the fans at some point, right? And you want that big. So the first folks to really get started with this was the NBA. Back in the late 70s, early 80s, back when their games were on tape delay, and there was an assistant who was the second in command for the NBA, was David Stern, and he saw, I can really market the Larry Bird and Magic Johnson. Mm-hmm. He marketed that like crazy. He made the world know who they were. And so I'm looking forward to baseball kind of grabbing some of that, right? And because baseball was my first love. I loved baseball growing up. So,
and you know, when it comes to sports, I mean, for me, I love the sport, but I also love the storylines.
Absolutely. And he told me that when he was an athlete, he'd get interviewed, and he said they try to keep him on this in this little box. You know, you are the sports guy. You do this. You talk about that. And he says, but there's so much more. These guys love this game. They've been doing it since they could swing a stick in the backyard.
You got to ask a lot of times when I hear like interviews of some of these athletes and just ask them a lot of whys. Like that's the most interesting part to these athletes is, of course, they're good. But why? Why are you so good? Why are you so fast? Why are you so strong? Why you hit so many home runs? And no, steroids not good. But anyway, why do you do those things?
Well, the other thing I want to know is what do you do on your free time? What do you guys do in the dugout? How do you feel
like
when you strike out 18 times? You know what?
That's a very good question,
how
though.
How do you overcome when you are just on this bad, bad streak? What do you do to get yourself motivated? Or what, you know, or when you're on this good thing, you know, what does that feel like?
Stop washing your underwear. That's what you do, according to Rick Riss.
But you know what? I want to know those stories.
Some of the players.
But you know, baseball is a sport that if you are successful at the plate 30% of the time, that's really good.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
So you have to get good at, you talk about mental toughness?
Yes.
Right? Like, I know that if I fail 30% of the time, that's really good.
I know. Look at their season opener where they went into overtime. Nothing's happening. And they hang in there.
Yeah. Yes.
It's amazing.
Well, the other things I love, things like, hey, what do you listen to? What music do you listen to? What is it that you guys do with your family?
Because you want people to be, I would like to be more than a statistic, and my batting average, number of awards or what have you. I want to be more than that. So these guys crave that as well. They want people to know what their family's like, what their hopes and dreams are. And, you know, that game crushed me, but I'm still fighting on.
Thank you, Heather.
Anytime, guys.
That was amazing. Thank you so much. I look at whether it's baseball, whether it's football, whatever. It's almost like even a talk show right here on Cairo Radio, right? They want to know, like, Ursula, where you been this weekend? They want to know those things.
And they don't want to only just know all the good stuff. They want to know, like, hey, wait, what happened? Did your son really fill out that Mother's Day card in the parking lot right before you handed it to you? Yes, as a matter of fact. One of them did.
How many? By the way, I shouldn't throw this under the bus, but Lillian's son showed up, like, he had caught in traffic, and he showed up 45 minutes late for dinner.
Oh, whoops.
Like, not all Mother's Day issues are perfect on Facebook. By the way, who does fill out that card right before handing it to mama or to your significant other? You, Chef?
Why do you think I love those papyrus cards that have a sticker instead of licking it? That way you can put the sticker on and they have no idea you just sealed the envelope.
I think that my kids learn from the best. Why does my handwriting always look really bad on cards? Sometimes my husband's driving and I'm writing. It's like, do you have to go over every bump?
Who? When it's a card from the family, who fills out the card? You or Long Live Mark?
He's really good.
Oh, it's Long
He's
Live?
Really good. No, we both do. No.
Oh, it's even?
Do. Yeah. And both boys also do handwritten cards. I told you that.
Who
that's
do you
the
think,
biggest gift.
Who do you think does it between me and Lillian?
Oh, that's Lillian.
1,000% of the time.
Uh-huh.
Right, thank you, Heather. Appreciate you. Hey, coming up next, it's time for, oh, my goodness, already, your text messages, your feedback, and then finally, we have Ursula's words to live by. It's Jean Ursula. It is the Jean Ursula Show. It has been a fast, fast show. Thank you, Ursula, for coming back to us.
As if there was even a question.
And I wish you would have eaten at Fat Daddy's for Mother's Day. It just would have sounded better. Hey, Ursula, what'd you do for Mother's Day? Oh, we went out to eat at Fat Daddy's. All right. What do you got, Ursula?
Well, Jeff and Bonnie Lake says, everyone celebrates when mom comes home and we finally get a meal besides chips and cheese sauce. Plus, dad finally cleans up the house.
Facts. You only clean up right before. Hey, yeah, let me know. What time do you get in? Cool. 1 hour before you start to clean up.
Mom walks in, touches the vacuum, still hot.
Kids and cell phones. Helen and Kent says, we waited until both of our sons were driving until we got them a phone. For us, it was a good thing to have in case of an emergency.
Kai says, my daughter's friends would have 2 or 3 burner phones and would use all of everybody's Wi-Fi at every single house they went to because their parents were strict.
Mm. 253 says, I gave my children a phone when they went to middle school for safety reasons.
And 253 says, I did a cell phone contact with my daughter outlining rules for the privilege, including behavior, schoolwork, and chores, as well as acceptable use limits. Okay, 253 did the work.
They did. That was good.
That's awesome.
David and Moses Lake says, you should only be able to have a smartphone from the time you're 17 until you're 45. I'm 57, and I feel like I'm way too old for it. I have grandchildren that are under 17, and I don't think they should be anywhere close to them. They are phenomenal for working age people that grew up with them.
And I responded to David because I had to point out that, hey, I'm 56, and I'm not too old for my smartphone.
Mm-hmm.
We're not old, David.
What size the text on that?
Okay.
What's your ring volume set to?
You're getting personal. It's only because I refused to wear my glasses.
I just had to change mine yesterday.
Did your parents outlaw rap music? 360 says, that was me, ha ha ha. My parents were so strict, I had to sneak and listen to Eazy-E at my friend's house.
See? 253 says, my first CD was... Come on, Chef. My first CD was a Snoop Dogg CD. I was 10, LOL. Come on, man.
425 says, me? Mom, can I listen to rap? Mom, you need to wrap your blank in that room and clean.
Jared in Nebraska said, I had to hide that Eddie Murphy Raw tape. Now, I got it. I remember those days. Hiding Eddie Murphy Delirious and some Richard Pryor records that my friends got from his daddy.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay, on scenarios. Mm-hmm. My mom insulted my fiancé in front of the whole family because he doesn't have the kind of money that my family and former fiancé has. Okay, you'll have to listen back because that won't make no sense to you.
Yeah.
253 says, Ursula, you're wrong about that guy. We all said we thought he was a good guy. He's a gold digger, this person says. That's why he was so gracious after getting insulted. I smell future trouble. However, I agree with you on getting control of the mother.
Mm. 360 says, what if he has been after the money all along and mom recognizes this, which is why she's acting the way she is. You know what? Y'all can't just assume that they're sitting around for the money.
Dan in the 425 says, a good man isn't going to encourage you to separate from your family. It might take time, but if you can't work out the issue within the family first, there will be time later to separate if necessary. Good words there, Dan.
To leave a voicemail or not leave a voicemail, 360 says, wait a minute. In order to leave a voicemail, you actually have to call someone? Do young people even do that anymore?
Those are facts.
As infrequently as possible.
Annette says, if someone doesn't leave a message, they don't get called back. Period.
Oh, you know what? I should start doing that. TC says, I left a minute-long voicemail to a friend yesterday and asked him to respond however he wanted. He sent me an email, and it was great.
And Brian in Bellevue says, gee, what about when doctors call you and have something important to notify you of? That is a dangerous game to play, man.
Good stuff, Brian. I told him,
yep, you're right. Come on, G.
You're right. All right, Ursula, it is now time for Your Words to Live By, brought to you by Wilcox Farms.
And sometimes it's hard to do, but it's always important to try to show grace, because one day you will need the same grace that you will not give someone else.
Ooh, that's a very good point. Ursula, it's good to have you back.
So fun to be back. Thank you all.
All right. Chef, good to have you all the time.
Hey, I just wanted to tease something real quick. Tomorrow at 10 o'clock a.m., we will talk to the new King County Sheriff appointee, Patty Cole Tindall. So we're looking forward to that conversation tomorrow.
And great. I'm gonna admit something to the new sheriff, too. I have to. They got to keep it a buck on the show.
Yep.
I do. Hey, Brady, thank you for all you do. Thank you, sir. Appreciate you, my man.
Stay with us. The Dory Monson Show is coming up next. I hope you all have a fabulous day.
Yo, we do this again tomorrow. Appreciate you for listening. Love you for that. Be good.